behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lofton.
At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
I like the job, Oliver. Fires left side. Got a man there. Stevie catch. Touchdown!
To being able to go out there and move, you know what I'm saying, get the herky jerk back.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Inside the 10. 5 yards. C.J. Spiller!
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, family owned and locally operated since 1933. At home, at work, and on the go, NOCO. Tonight with guest host Sal Capaccio features ESPN fantasy analyst Matthew Berry and author Jeff Miller telling us 100 things Bills fans need to do before you die. That and your phone calls tonight on The John Murphy Show.
This is pandemonium!
Touchdown, Buffalo! Leotis McKelvin brings it all the way back!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And welcome into a Tuesday night edition of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Good to be along with you once again tonight. My name is Sal Capaccio, filling in for Murph. Had a great night last night here, and looking forward to another great night tonight and the rest of the weekend into next week. I'll be along with you filling in for Murph as he gets a well-deserved break here this offseason. It is, however, never-ending as far as the NFL is concerned, as far as news, notes, things that go on in the offseason. Not just because the players aren't on the field doesn't mean there isn't a lot to talk about. There absolutely is, and we got a whole lot of stuff to talk about tonight. Let me set up the program for you. Got a really cool program for you tonight. We're going to talk with Jeffrey Miller, an author who wrote a book, 100 Things Bills Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. So there's 100 things in this book. Some of them are things you should know about if you're a Bills fan, and some of them are things you should do before you die if you're a Bills fan. And we'll talk with Jeffrey Miller about that. I was looking through it. I'm like, yeah, that is pretty cool, right? I haven't done that, or I didn't necessarily know enough about that, so I want to read a little bit more, and we will talk with Jeffrey Miller about that book, about some of his other books that he has. He's a Buffalo Bills author, actually. He's written a few books about the Buffalo Bills, and just how all that stuff came about, and some of the fun things in that book that he really had, some of the funner parts that he wrote about in that book and how all that came together. So we'll talk with him at the bottom of the first hour. But at the top of the next hour, an hour from now, if you're a fantasy football geek, like me, by the way, if you're a fantasy football geek, you are not going to want to miss it. I am going to talk with live the premier, preeminent fantasy football analyst in the entire country, Matthew Berry of ESPN.com, of ESPN, the talented Mr. Roto. Matthew Berry is going to be right here on the John Murphy Show, and we are going to talk fantasy football both in macro and micro. What do I mean by that? Well, the macro, I'll ask him questions about fantasy football in general, how the board should be setting up right now this time of year, what you should be doing to prep for your draft, which is coming up probably in less than 2 months for most of you. Also, who's the top players right now? Is Adrian Peterson the number one guy? A couple other questions that have come in on Twitter, at Sal Sports on Twitter. If you want to hit me up with those, I can maybe squeeze another one or two in. But I got a few that I've written down that you sent along my way the last 48 hours or so. Also, we'll talk about the micro, the Bills. Where some of the Bills fit in? How about C.J. Spiller? What kind of a year can we expect fantasy-wise from him? How about Stevie Johnson? How about that defense under Mike Pettine? Are they going to be an improved defense fantasy-wise? The Bills' defense actually wasn't horrible fantasy football-wise last year. They didn't have very good numbers as far as the season is concerned, but fantasy football-wise, they did some things, especially towards the end of the year. They started coming up with some turnovers and sacks and things like that. So we'll see from Matthew Berry, and we'll ask him exactly what we should expect from the Buffalo Bills. And that takes me to something we're going to throw out to you tonight. 803-0550 if you're in the 716 area code, or 888-552-550. Those are the two numbers to call. If you're toll-free, if you're not around this area code 716, you want us to pay for it, that's fine. It's 888-550-2550. And the question I have is fantasy football related, all right? And that is, after C.J. Spiller and Stevie Johnson, which I'm pretty sure everybody would have the consensus 1 and 2 or 2 and 1 fantasy football players on the Buffalo Bills, who's next off the board for the Bills? Is it the defense? Is it a guy like Fred Jackson because he may get his opportunity if C.J. gets a little banged up, or he gets pretty a hot hand? As Coach Marone said, he'll roll with the hot hand at running back. Is it the quarterback, whoever that may be, Kevin Cobb or E.J. Manuel? Is it a guy like Robert Woods, who's a rookie, or maybe even Marquise Goodwin because of his playmaking ability as a rookie? Is it Scott Chandler coming back from an injury, the big tight end in the middle of the field? I think this is a really interesting question from a Bills fantasy football standpoint. Who is the next guy off the board? Also, if you're not much into fantasy football and you're like, you know what? Yeah, I don't really play fantasy football. I'm not into it. Well, maybe you can learn a thing or two. Maybe you want to get into it this year. Give a call. Maybe tell us why you haven't played. Maybe you're interested in doing it. Maybe we can give you some tips on that and how to set something up and what to do. But I'm also interested in the people who say, you know what? I'm really not into fantasy football, and here's why. I'd like to talk about that as well tonight, but we got a whole boatload of things to talk about tonight. That is just one of them. Fantasy football on the schedule tonight, and that is because Matthew Berry, the talented Mr. Roto, Matthew Berry from ESPN, the senior fantasy football analyst of ESPN and ESPN.com, is going to join us at the top of hour number two. At the bottom of the first hour is Jeffrey Miller, the author, 100 Things Bills Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. I'm Sal Capaccio. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Thanks a lot. Let me tell you how you can get in touch with the program tonight. You can tweet me. I am at Sal Sports on Twitter. I know some of you out there still are not on Twitter. I don't know why you're not. In this day and age, you probably should be. Believe me, it's not just about people telling you what they made for breakfast or dinner or where they're shopping, okay? You don't have to follow all those people. You get on Twitter, you create an account, and you only follow the people or the organizations or the news outlets or whatever that you want to follow. It's a great source of breaking news, of information, and just talk back and forth with people. You can follow me. I'm at Sal Sports. You can follow this show, of course, John Murphy Show, all one word. That's how you can get in touch with us. Also, you know how else you can get in touch with us? Go to buffalobills.com/John Murphy Show. All the shows are archived there. You can listen to the shows each and every time they run, or just download it from iTunes. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can download the Bills mobile app at buffalobills.com. You can always listen to the John Murphy Show each and every weeknight here on Buffalo Bills Radio by doing that. All right, let me get to some news around the National Football League. And then big news coming out of One Bills Drive, and it concerns tickets that we'll get to in a moment. But first, some news around the National Football League today, because there actually was plenty of it over the last 24 hours since we last spoke. Let's talk about Desmond Bishop. Desmond Bishop, a linebacker going from Green Bay to Minnesota. Desmond Bishop playing a 4-3, now playing from a 3-4 going to a 4-3. And he was a linebacker in Green Bay, middle linebacker. He's going to be playing more inside now. Remember, he missed the 2012 season with a torn hamstring in preseason, but Desmond Bishop now goes from Green Bay to Minnesota, and he is a big signing for the Minnesota Vikings, who, by the way, seem like they are retooling their roster and looking pretty good right now. And of course, I said Adrian Peterson is a guy that, you know, they revolve everything around. It's probably all about the quarterback as far as Minnesota is concerned, but Desmond Bishop goes from Green Bay to Minnesota. Off the field news concerning Maurice Jones-Drew. He will not be charged. He will not be charged for hitting a security guard in St. Augustine, Florida. There was a scuffle. Something happened. Maurice Jones-Drew allegedly attacked, hit the security guard. There was this big investigation. Well, police came out today down in Florida and said they will not charge the running back for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Maurice Jones-Drew, for hitting that security guard. And you know what? Let's be honest. That relates to fantasy, too, because if Maurice Jones-Drew had been charged, you'd wonder, okay, what's going to happen? Is he going to miss some time? Well, looks like he's still in play at the top of your draft board. We'll get to that also with Matthew Berry. The Dallas Cowboys making news on a couple of different fronts today. First, they signed their first-round draft pick center, Travis Frederick. Okay, now Travis Frederick was taken with the 31st overall pick by the Dallas Cowboys after some maneuvering and some trades there. The pick originally belonging to the San Francisco 49ers, of course, because they were the runner-up to the Baltimore Ravens in the Super Bowl at 31. Travis Frederick signs a 4-year deal. Terms were not announced. That means 10 of the 32 first-round selections are now under contract. Of course, one of those 10, E.J. Manuel, number 16th overall to the Buffalo Bills. Let's go through the guys who've signed already. Number 2, Luke Jokel, Jacksonville Jaguars offensive tackle. Number 5, Ziggy Ansah, defensive end Detroit. He signed a 5-year deal. Tavon Austin, number 8, the Rams. Remember, that was originally the Bills pick. He is under contract to the Rams, a wide receiver out of West Virginia. Number 11, the offensive tackle for San Diego, DJ Fluker. He is under contract in a 4-year deal. And then you got guys 14, 15, 16, 17. Star Latulale, Carolina Panthers defensive tackle, Kenny Vaccaro, strong safety, New Orleans Saints at 15, EJ Manuel, the quarterback in Buffalo at 16, and Jarvis Jones, a linebacker for Pittsburgh out of Georgia at number 17. All of them have been signed as well. Kyle Long at number 20, Chicago Bears guard, he is signed. No player has signed that was drafted 21 through 30. That's a logjam right there. You got to have, if you're one of those teams in 21 through 30, like Cincy, Atlanta, Minnesota, Indy, Minnesota, Green Bay, Houston, Denver, and Minnesota again, or St. Louis, you got to hope somebody signs a deal to kind of set the market. Even though they're slotted, the guaranteed money and things like that does change a little bit. And as far as what the exact terms are of the deal, that hasn't happened yet. Someone's going to sign. It'll unlock that logjam. But for right now, 21 through 30, no one's been signed. But today, 31, Travis Frederick, Dallas Cowboys center, he has been signed. Matt Elam, the number 32 pick overall, unsigned in Baltimore. Dallas also making news today. Anthony Spencer, him and his agent have broke off negotiations for a long-term contract. Spencer signed a one-year franchise tag with the Dallas Cowboys earlier this offseason, $10.63 million for the pass rusher. Now, here's the deal with this, okay? Spencer is moving from a 3-4 to a 4-3. He's going to be paired with DeMarcus Ware in a 4-3. He played 3-4 outside linebacker. He's going to go to 4-3 defensive end. It kind of skews the money and what they think his value is worth. He wants, reportedly, Paul Kruger money at $8 million per year for a long-term deal. Doesn't look like Dallas wants to go there and doesn't put that value on him. So right now, Anthony Spencer says to Dallas, okay, one-year deal. I'm good right now. I'm good with a one-year deal. It's probably best to go from there. We'll see how all that plays out. Of course, we're watching the Jarris Bird situation here in Buffalo, who has yet to sign his franchise tender of a one-year deal. Also, the Lions, they have signed former Chicago Bears defensive end Israel Adonijé. Now, Israel Adonijé is 33 years old. He's going to be this season. They signed him to a one-year deal. This is reported, not official yet. They reportedly signed him to a one-year deal. Adonijé is 33 years old, but he had a really good year last year. 48 tackles, 7.5 sacks for Israel Adonijé. He goes from Chicago to Detroit. Now, here's the thing with this. It seems kind of odd to me because where is he going to play in Detroit? He may help, and this makes, you know, their front seven is loaded. I mean, it really looks loaded on paper, but I don't know exactly where he's going to fit in because you got Nick Fairley there. You got Ndamukong Suh there. You got Jason Jones there. And let's remember, they drafted Ziggy Ansah from BYU with the fifth overall selection to play defensive end. So I'm not saying it's a bad signing. It's good for the rotation, but it's a guy, and you think that Israel Adonijé, if he's going to go somewhere, he may have wanted to go where it's not as much of a backlog and a logjam, I should say, of front four and front seven players specifically. So defensive end Israel Adonijé goes to Detroit to pair with Nick Fairley, Ndamukong Suh, Jason Jones, and Ziggy Ansah. The Buffalo Bills, right here at One Bills Drive. I am broadcasting just outside the stadium where a lot of you will be sitting this year to watch games played at the Ralph. And today, some of those dates and some of those games, some news being made as far as the tickets that will go on sale. Let me read this to you. This is from the official press release from the Buffalo Bills, all right? The Bills today announced that the individual game ticket pre-sale will begin Tuesday, July 9th, just a couple of weeks from now, okay? A couple Tuesdays from now, 9 a.m. That will be 24 hours before they go on sale to the general public. The special online pre-sale will be available to over 1 million connected Bills fans. An online promo code will be required for purchase and will be distributed to Facebook and Twitter followers, Bills email subscribers, and fans that have downloaded the official Bills mobile app. So this is what this all says, okay? You have to be basically connected on Twitter, on Facebook. You have to have the app, or you have to subscribe to the Bills emails. All of those are any way to do it. It's easy to do any one of those things, much less all four, which many of you probably are already. And if you are one of those people, you will get a special code, which allows you to purchase tickets pre-sale 24 hours before they go on sale to the general public. You can do that online, and that will be Tuesday, July 9th at 9 o'clock a.m. for the pre-sale. So make sure you're hooked up to buffalobills.com/ticket pre-sale online to find more information. And you got to be hooked up on Twitter. You got to be hooked up on Facebook, the email, the app, whatever it is. You'll get first priority right there and first crack at these tickets. Individual game tickets will go on sale to the general public the next day at 9 a.m., which will be Wednesday, July 10th. Now, individual game tickets for the regular season opener against the Patriots, September 8th, already sold out. That's not a surprise. As part of the Bills season ticket holder benefits program, season ticket holders did have the opportunity to purchase group and individual game tickets in advance, which is partly why that sold out so quickly. Group tickets of 15 or more also had previously been made available to the general public. Special group pricing is available for the Cincinnati, the Kansas City, the Jets game, and the Miami games. Season tickets also still remain on sale for the 2013 season. That will provide significant savings off of individual game prices as well as exclusive benefits if you do buy the season tickets. The 13th annual Kids Day, by the way, that game is going to be held at the Ralph on Friday, August 16th. And that game, Friday, August 16th, is against the Minnesota Vikings, the first home preseason game. The Bills open preseason Sunday, August 11th at Indy. The next week, Friday night, August 16th, they're taking on the Minnesota Vikings. That game is the Kids' Day game. Fans can purchase tickets online at buffalobills.com/tickets, by phone at 877-BB-TICKS. That's B-B-T-I-C-K-S. I'll even give you that number, actually. It's 1-877-228-4257. That's 1-877-228-4257. Or you can visit the Ralph Wilson Stadium box office, which, by the way, I can basically almost reach. I mean, if I was Plastic Man, I could reach it. I can't really reach, and I don't have long enough arms to necessarily do that right now, but I could probably just reach over there or at least throw a stone and hit those guys. Because I'm so close, I'm right now at the John Murphy Studios down here at 1 Bills Drive. So that's the news of the day in the National Football League. The Dallas Cowboys really making news on a couple of different fronts there, like I said. And I'm not sure Anthony Spencer moving to a 4-3 is going to be worth that $8 million per year that Paul Kruger got, because I think Paul Kruger might have been a little bit overpaid. He had a really nice year in Baltimore, and of course they won the Super Bowl, but that may have inflated his value. And really what we've seen this offseason is pass rushers haven't necessarily had the type of value that some may have thought. And part of the reason may have been because of the contract that Mario Williams got last year, and then of course, you know, that didn't translate necessarily to a lot of wins on the field for the Buffalo Bills. Maybe some teams around the league are like, look, the Bills spent a lot of money on a pass rusher, didn't directly relate to wins, and that's what happens sometimes in the marketplace. So we'll see how all that plays out. And of course, Mario did wind up with 10.5 sacks. He had a pretty good year individually as far as his sack totals and sack numbers, but maybe some teams are a little gun shy about saying how much is a pass rushing guy a specialist. Even though Mario's not really a pass rushing specialist, he can do more, and he'll do more this year in the 3-4, but how much is a pass rusher necessarily worth? And I think the Cowboys are trying to weigh that with Anthony Spencer, who looks to get $10.63 million if he plays on that one-year deal. Let's remember, that's not any form of a signing bonus or anything like that. That's why these guys want the long-term deal. If something happens and he, you know, gets hurt or something like that, he's not necessarily going to collect that money, so that's why these guys want to go to the long-term deal right there. Desmond Bishop going to Minnesota, that's a pretty good deal for Minnesota, because you know, they're revamping, they're retooling that roster. They're going to be a surprise team maybe this year. Well, I guess I shouldn't say surprise anymore. Last year, I'll be honest, I'll throw myself under the bus and say I was dead wrong about Minnesota last year. I thought they were going to be horrible. They were a very good football team. And, of course, with Adrian Peterson and what he was able to do, the Minnesota Vikings surprised a lot of people last year. And it looks like they're gearing up to really have a nice season this year, because they're making some big moves. Detroit Lions, with that signing of Israel Adonijé, that really bolsters their defensive line. Like I said, Fairley, Sue, Jones, Ansah comes in as the number 5 pick. So it's pretty interesting to see what they're doing there. All right, that's your news of the day, not only around the NFL, but as far as the Buffalo Bills are concerned. Again, make sure you go to buffalobills.com/tickets, and you can be involved in this pre-sale of these tickets that are going on, and that'll be Tuesday, July 9th. You got to be hooked up Twitter, Facebook, the mobile app, email. That'll give you a chance to purchase these tickets before anybody else does, and you can do that online 24 hours before they go on sale. We're going to take a timeout here on the John Murphy Show, and when we come back, we're going to chat with author Jeffrey Miller, 100 Things Bills Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. I'm Sal Capaccio, filling in for Murph on Buffalo Bills Radio on the John Murphy Show.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back to the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. My name is Sal Capaccio, sitting in for Murph tonight. Thanks a lot for joining us here. I'll be in all week and then into next week. appreciate you joining us however you are. And by the way, that can include anywhere on the radio dial and, of course, on any of our many apps and platforms that you can find us. No excuse not to listen to the John Murphy Show and get your fill of Bills talk each and every Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Tonight, we welcome in a special guest, an author. He's an award-winning writer whose previous books include Game Changers, The Greatest Plays in Buffalo Bills Football History, Rockin' the Rock Pile, The Buffalo Bills of the American Football League, and Buffalo's Forgotten Champions, The Story of Buffalo's First Professional Football Team, and the lost 1921 title. He still makes his home in Western New York. In fact, he lives in Springville, and his latest work is 100 Things Bills Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Jeffrey Miller joins me on the line right now. Jeff, good to talk to you.
Great to be here, Sal. Thanks for having me on.
I know you've talked to Murph before. It's my first chance to say hello to you and get a little bit of a lowdown on what you got going here. And your latest work is pretty interesting. I was reading through this today. Unfortunately, haven't gotten through all of it yet, but I will. And there's a lot of things in there to talk about, and 100 of them, actually. How did all this come about for you as far as 100 things that Bills fans should know and do before they die? How'd you come up with this concept?
Well, I didn't really. Triumph Books, they're a publishing, they publish sports books in Chicago. I had gone through them to do my previous book with Marv Levy, the Game Changers book, and they were coming out with this series of 100 things a particular team's fans should know and do before they die, and they were doing them on the Steelers, the Packers, the Lions, et cetera, and they also have them now for, you know, baseball, the Yankees, the Mets, et cetera. So they approached me knowing, I guess, that I was a Bills writer and asked me to do this. So I was more than happy to do it.
So you're a Bills writer. Are you, I'm assuming you are, a Bills fan?
Oh, absolutely. Grew up on them. Went to games back at the old Rock Pile. So yeah, it's been a lifestyle.
And you have a foreword in this book by Marv Levy. You've worked with him. What's it like working with Marv in conjunction of doing these books?
Well, it's a little intimidating because, you know, here I'm trying to keep up to a standard of, you know, a gentleman with a master's degree from Harvard. You know, I want to make sure that I don't make any grammatical errors or spelling errors or anything. But the fact of the matter is that this, you know, Marv Levy is a knowledgeable man, of course, about football, but he's also a true gentleman and a great guy to work with. I just had a blast working with him. So.
Before I get into some of the nuts and bolts of this book, tell me about a couple of your other previous works as far as the Bills are concerned and some of the books you wrote.
Well, my first book that was specifically about the Bills was Rockin' the Rock Pile. It was a book about the Bills of the American Football League. I had been wanting to do that for a while. I was going to initially write a book just focusing on the championships that they won in 1964 and 65. But in talking to Denny Lynch, who was the Bills archivist at the time, he said, hey, why don't you just make it about the entire, you know, era of the American Football League that the Bills played in from 1960 to 69. That way you got the whole thing covered. So I just went ahead and did it. And that was a blast to do because I interviewed close to 70 former players, coaches, et cetera. For that book, I got to talk to a lot of the guys I grew up admiring. And that's the book that led me to do Game Changers because I guess Triumph must have liked what I did because they asked me if I'd be interested in doing this book with Marv Levy. So, you know, what was I going to say? No.
Exactly. And now, do you consider yourself a football historian? I mean, are you a fan of the game and, you know, other teams as well and, you know, the previous eras of the game?
I guess I am more of a historian. I love the game. I watch, you know, I don't miss a game the Bills play, but I am more of a historian. I love to delve into the history of it. You know, my first football book was about the Buffalo's first football team from the 1920s. So I love the leather helmet era. You know, I love the 50s. I love the AFL era. I love, you know, anything, you know, Dick Butkus, John Unitas. I love all that stuff. But, you know, I am a huge fan of today's team as well.
Jeffrey Miller joining me right now. He wrote the book 100 Things Bills Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. You can buy it yourself. You can thumb through it. You can read it. I have it in my hand right now. Jeff, I want to ask you, other than the Super Bowl era, in fact, maybe it's not even your answer. I would assume the Super Bowl era is, but what's your favorite era of Buffalo Bills football?
Without question, it's the Bills championships of 64 and 65. It was just a team that had character. They were a lunch bucket kind of team. They were a true reflection of the city of Buffalo. They were blue collar, hardworking. They were accessible to the fans. These guys were regular Joes who went to work every day to play football. And in the off season, they had regular jobs like car salesmen. Some sold insurance, whatever they had to do. Some taught school, whatever they had to do to make ends meet because they weren't making a fortune. So fans here in Buffalo and Western New York could relate to those guys. And they were, you know, you had guys like Billy Shaw, L.B. Miller, Booker Edgerton. These were just great guys, and they're still here living locally. They a true reflection of the community.
What I like about this book, when I started reading it, was I'm looking through each of your 100 things in the table of contents, and every once in a while, one you look at some and they're obvious, you know, that you know exactly the comeback. You know what that's about. But then you get to one, you say, wait a minute, what does that mean? The rematch. I don't know what you're talking about there. And that makes me go to page 46, for example, to actually know. Well, on for section 16, it's just titled 26. You have another one titled just 28. Where did you come up with some of these titles? Did you have to think of them? Or was it hard to come up with some of these titles?
Yeah, it was. You know, the publisher wanted to have some of the titles be not so obvious. So exactly what you're talking about, you'd have that curiosity. Okay, yeah. What is 28? What is the rematch? What is you know, wide right? In case somebody didn't know, this is should be part of every Buffalo football fan's vernacular. But some people may not know what wide right is. So when you go, you look at that wide right. Okay, well, what is that? And then you can go right to the chapter and say, oh, okay, now I get it. And so they wanted to make some of them a little more obscure than others. Some titles are a player's name. It might be Jerry Butler, but then another one might be, you know, how the kicker met his public. Nobody knows what that's about until they read it, and then they said, "Oh yeah, I've heard that story about Booth Lustig before. He's the guy who got beat up by some fans." So that's how the kicker met his public.
And by the way, I'm glad you included Jerry Butler on section 43, page 139, because he was my favorite Bill growing up. He is somebody that all Bills fans should know about. He did a lot for the community after he retired as a Buffalo Bill, unfortunately, you know, breaking his leg in that Miami game. But I want to ask you what some of the more fun topics that you wrote about. What were some of the ones that you really had fun researching and writing about other than others, maybe?
Well, the Whammy Weenie section was a lot of fun because, you know, a lot of fans remember that, you know, there's different stories on what happened, and, you know, there's always that giggle factor when it comes to the Whammy Weenie, but,
right.
So that was kind of fun to research, or, you know, I wanted to write about one of the bars that you hear about these bars across the country that are Bill's bars, so talking to Jimmy from Jimmy's Old Town Tavern down in Virginia was a lot of fun to do as well. So some of those things that, you know, people don't normally talk about, or, you know, we as fans, we watch the games, but we don't think about those other things. And those are kind of cool to research.
Tell me something about on the field that you are surprised that most fans or many fans didn't know a lot about doing research. And you say, you know what? I didn't realize that most fans didn't know this story, so I'm going to tell this story.
Well, there's several. I mean, when my thing was Steve Tasker, and I keep going back to this in another interview I did recently. It was talking about Steve Tasker, and this always fascinates me because there's always that argument over whether or not somebody who's, you know, primarily a special teamer belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
And my feeling is that Steve Tasker definitely belongs in the Hall of Fame. And in researching that and talking to Marv, Marv and I actually sat down. He broke it down for me about how many plays, special teams plays there are in a game and how that affects a game. You don't really think about it, but one special teams play can affect the entire outcome of a game just as much as a bomb or, you know, an interception. And Steve Tasker made the difference in a lot of games. And because he was playing on so many different areas, I mean, he was returning kicks, he was blocking punts, he was making tackles, he was affecting the outcome of the game all the way through it. So in my estimation, Steve Tasker was just as important to that team as many of the stars were. And so learning a lot about the special teamer that you don't really get when you're just watching the game, you're thinking about the running backs and the quarterbacks and the wide receivers, et cetera. But when you think about what the impact someone like Steve Tasker has, that to me is very important. And I think very eye-opening.
Yeah, there's some things there. I wish I could just name all 100. I can't, obviously, for time reasons, but things like watch Buffalo 66. I agree. I mean, come on. Every Bills fan should at least watch that movie because you're gonna see a little bit of yourself in that movie somewhere along the line with Christina Ricci and, of course, Vincent Gallo, who's from Buffalo, who made that movie. That's, of course, a really good one. But also, this book was written last year, and it's so recent. What I found interesting was you actually have sections about current Buffalo Bills. In fact, very aptly titled, interestingly, The Other Stevie Wonder. And, of course, that is Stevie Johnson. And then one about Mario Williams, which is the last section, 100. So you actually are pretty up to date on some of the current Bills in this.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure about that. And I intended to do several of the current players. There were a couple of others I had in mind, and I guess I'm kind of glad I didn't write about, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick now. But,
yeah.
The one stipulation that the publisher made to me was, you got to do something about Mario Williams, because we were in the midst of writing this when Mario was signed. And they said, if nothing else, you got to make sure you include Mario in here for the most current fans, so they really can, you know, sink their teeth into something, because it's kind of like you're starting with Ralph Wilson as number one, and then, you know, you end it with Mario, like the new beginning. So you're kind of coming full circle with that. And Mario, of course, is, you know, the biggest name on the team, and you really want to make sure he's included.
Jeff, give your publisher some love, man. Who helped you do this book?
You mean from who's the publisher?
Yeah, the publishers, like the company. Anybody you want that went into doing this book with you?
Well, the publisher again was Triumph Books. They're out in Chicago. They were great through the whole thing. They, you know, they approached me. They supported me. They pretty much gave me free rein to pick the 100 things that I thought about. You know, and Marv Levy, of course, was very helpful to me. And there were a lot of people along the way. You know, Jimmy from Jimmy's Old Town Tavern, and just people that, you know, there was a lot of support I got throughout it. The key here was they wanted this book done in 6 months. So if I got support from anybody, I guess it was my wife, who allowed me a lot of time up in my office to put this thing together, because putting a book together, 300 pages in 6 months, is a Herculean effort.
And how can people either get the book or get in touch with you to get the book? Where can they go to do this?
The book is available at Barnes & Noble or any of the local bookstores. It's available on Amazon.com. You know, so it's very readily available. It's pretty much everywhere.
Can you do you have anything planned in the future as far as Bills books?
No, I've written 3 Bills books, and you know, there is a book that's on the horizon. A fellow collector has asked me to kind of help him put together a book about his huge collection of Bills memorabilia. But right now I'm working on a biography of Pop Warner, so I'm kind of veering away from the Bills for the moment, but I'm probably going to get right back into it, because this gentleman has such a large collection. I think it's going to be a great kind of coffee table style book with a lot of glossy pictures and stuff like that. So,
well, it sounds like fun. Jeff, thanks a lot for joining us. Really appreciate it. And good luck and continued success, because you got some good stuff here, and I'm going to finish this thing, okay?
Thanks a lot, Sal.
All right, no problem. That is Jeffrey Miller, the author of 100 Things Bills Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Kind of like a Buffalo Bills fan bucket list, basically, is what this whole thing is, right? So, hey, it's pretty cool. I'm telling you, look at some of these titles in here. Yeah, go watch Buffalo 66. I agree. Number Section 78, the dirtiest player. I mean, it's got to be Conrad Dobler, right? Conrad Dobler's got to be the guy.
Yeah. Now going back to Buffalo 66, uh-huh. It doesn't matter that it's a terrible movie. Just watch it anyway.
Well, I think it's because, well, I see you think it's a terrible movie. I don't know.
Actually at the premiere.
Really?
With Gallo and Christina Ricci.
I can see why people would say that, but I think if you're a Bills fan and you know, like, in the history of the championship and how it pains you, it makes it a better movie, because you're like, you see yourself in that movie somehow.
No, I get that. And I felt
like
his
the way
pain,
it was made.
And I, you know, it was cool to see some of the things downtown, but
yeah,
I just didn't think it was a good movie.
They got a few other ones. Revolutionary, Magic Man, Sideline Acrobat, Buster.
Magic Man's got to be Flutie.
I would guess so. Yeah, I haven't turned to that yet. Rise of the Mormonators.
Okay.
Brian Mormon, obviously a very big player in the Bills history, but there's some really good stuff in here. So go check it out. It's 100 Things Bills Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Jeffrey Miller is the author. You can check it out, like he said, at Barnes & Noble. All right. Amazon, also all those other places, neat places you can get stuff. You know what else you can do? You can go to iTunes. You can download the John Murphy Show. Check that out. It's also in the Buffalo Bills mobile app and BuffaloBills.com. I'm Sal Capaccio, filling in for Murph on Buffalo Bills Radio. More fantasy football talk when we come back. Who would you take after CJ and Stevie for the Bills on your fantasy football roster this year? Who should be next off the board?
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back to the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. I'm Sal Capaccio, filling in for Murph tonight. Glad to be along with you. In case you're just joining us, we're talking fantasy football tonight, but we just had an author on. His name is Jeffrey Miller, 100 Things Bills Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Go pick up the book, listen about the book on our mobile app, of course, at BuffaloBills.com or in the iTunes store. You can listen to all of the John Murphy shows that are archived in the podcast version, so make sure you do that. All right, fantasy football players, I need your help here, all right? Call 716-803-0550 if you're in the 716 area code, or toll free 888-550-2550. If you're a fantasy player, here's the challenging question for you tonight. Give some help out there to the other fantasy players. Let's have a little debate and discussion about this. The question is, after C.J. Spiller and Stevie Johnson, because they would be the first two off the board as far as Bills players are concerned, however you may rank them, maybe some of you, you know, have Stevie ahead of C.J. or C.J. ahead of Stevie, that's fine. They're obviously the two best fantasy options for the Bills. After that, who's the third Bills player, or maybe special teams or defense can be included in this? What's the next Bill to go off the board in fantasy football this year? A lot of your drafts are coming up in a couple of months, in about, 6 weeks or so for many of you. Usually mid-August is when the drafts really get into high gear. Maybe you're in a dynasty league, by the way. That would affect this, because you're in a dynasty league. Maybe the rookie quarterback, E.J. Manuel's the pick. You say, hey, I get him now. I get him early on, maybe, because I think he's going to be a stud for me for many years to come. You could do something like that. Dynasty leagues are different. And by the way, when I ask this question, I'm talking about point per reception league, PPR leagues. All right, so let's count it that way, point per reception league, because most people these days play in the point per reception league, which is you get 1 point for every catch, which I think, you know, obviously really elevates receivers like TJ Graham, the rookie Robert Woods, guys like that. So make sure that you have that in mind. Now, obviously, it also elevates other people on other teams. So you may have those guys knocked out a peg. But let's go through a few of these and kind of debate this a little bit internally. But I want to hear from you. Also, if you're not a fantasy football player and you're thinking to yourself, why are you guys talking about fantasy football? All you got to do is kind of, you know, pick up the phone and give a call and say, Sal, I don't even play fantasy football. Here's why. Or maybe you're interested and you want to know. Maybe you're wondering about how to get involved in the league this year. By the way, at the top of the next hour, one of the best in the business, if not the best in the business, the talented Mr. Roto, and that is Matthew Berry from ESPN, is going to join me on the line. We're going to talk to him about the league and Bills players in fantasy football. But Russ Burton, our producer here tonight on the John Murphy Show, haven't heard from him tonight. He's doing a great job, of course. But Russ, my question to you, who would you take?
That's tough. When you said special teams defense, it reminded me, it kind of jogged my memory, because I'm not in fantasy mode yet, that a lot of times, you know, when you take a team's defense, it counts as their special teams. I think in that case, next off the board for me is the defense. I think they're going to be really active. They're going to be 180 degrees different than what fans are used to seeing last year. Lots of pressure, which is probably going to mean a lot of interceptions, hopefully a lot of sacks. And I think our strongest position right now is kick returner in general, because if it's not Liotis, because they don't want to, you know, give him that work because he's probably going to be starting cornerback, then you got, who do you got? TJ Graham, who's got world-class speed.
You could put Marquise Goodwin back there.
Marquise Goodwin, who is in the Olympics, for crying out loud.
Marcus Easley.
Derrick Rogers, Marcus Easley, Brad Smith has always been a good returner. So there's no shortage of guys that could be good there and probably be pretty successful. So I think that would be next, but I mean, you know, you could take the Robert Woods would be a pretty solid choice.
Got some picks for Robert Woods on Twitter at Sal Sports. I had a few of those, but
you would mention TJ Graham. That's pretty intriguing to me.
I think TJ Graham's the sleeper for me for this. He's the guy, the sleeper. TJ Graham could have a 50 plus reception season, and I think that would be really nice for him, and it would be really nice for your fantasy team in a deeper league. If you need a guy, he probably will. And I think that would really help. That's a guy that's kind of on my radar for this answer. I'm going to tell you the player that was most tweeted to me for this answer in just a moment, but let's head out to the phone lines first. Tim in Niagara Falls. Tim, give us some help here. What do you think about this fantasy football question?
Well, I think the number three guy, the most obvious choice to me, is Fred Jackson. When he was healthy, he put up similar numbers to C.J. Spiller. But I think the surprise pick is actually going to be E.J. Manuel this year.
Okay, now here's the thing about this, Tim. Fred is also the one that most Bills fans tweeted me about. So you're right on the same lane as, you know, a lot of people who thought about this. Here's my concern, though, that we heard so much last year about CJ not getting the ball enough. And this year, Doug Marrone, new coaching staff comes in, Nathaniel Hackett. I don't know if Fred's going to get the number of touches needed for me to really justify him being the next guy off the board.
Well, actually, I hope you're right, because I got CJ Spiller as a keeper in both my leagues next year. So.
Wow, that's pretty crazy. But I appreciate that. Fred Jackson, and then the sleeper, E.J. Manuel. And Russ, E.J. Manuel, maybe because he runs a little bit, could that be a reason why you think some people might want to do that with him?
Yeah, I mean, we were kind of talking about this off the air. I think that's a huge mistake if people are taking that. I mean, it's hard to say right now, you know, which quarterback to go with because we don't know who's going to be the starter. Both have looked pretty solid between Kevin Cobb and EJ Manuel. But, you know, you're just saying EJ because he runs. Kevin Cobb is not afraid to run.
That's right.
You know, and he's got some pretty good wheels when he's able to use them. So I think if that's your deciding factor, I mean, it really could go. It really shouldn't be. Yeah,
it shouldn't
you're right,
be
right.
that much of a difference there. Craig in Rochester, you're on the John Murphy Show. What's up, Craig?
Hey, Sal. Good evening. I completely agree with you. I think Freddie, they're going to just run Spiller. Unfortunately, he's a great back. You won't see it, but I see Robert Woods. I think the defense will put up some good points. You know, I wouldn't be surprised actually if Chandler does well with the offense. But you know, everything I've read about Woods, I've seen with him so far, just a smart, good, big receiver. Who, you know, with the offense they're installing, you know, even with Kevin Manuel, they just play to fit this level to have a guy that big who can make those types of catches. I think he could really surprise a lot of people outside of the Buffalo area.
All right, Craig, I do not disagree with that pick because Robert Woods is right up there with a guy like T.J. Graham for me. Here's the thing about Robert Woods. He's not going to be the big play kind of receiver, really, because he's not the necessary burner that a guy like Marquise Goodwin or T.J. Graham is. But he could be a guy that really just catches a lot
of
balls.
Get a lot of catches. A lot of catches,
and really a lot of yards to go with that, which could mean touchdowns, of course, in the end. So it's really interesting.
I tell you what, we have to break here, but I have a sleeper. I think
who could be
a really big fantasy player for the Bills. That I'll tell you about probably after Matthew Berry.
Berry, the talented Mr. Roto, ESPN's senior fantasy football analyst, live on the air when the John Murphy Show continues on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Time is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
How did he do it? How did he do it?
I was sneaking in the door. Just sneaking in, had to part the door open, crawl underneath the crawl space.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Family owned and locally operated since 1933. At home, at work, and on the go, NOCO.
The kick is blocked again. It is Marcel Darius, Big Daddy in the middle. Unbelievable.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back to the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. I'm Sal Capaccio, sitting in for Murph tonight. If you missed the first hour of the show this evening, you missed a whole heck of a lot, including our interview with Jeffrey Miller, author of 100 Things Bills Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. But all you got to do is check it out on demand, our podcast, iTunes, buffalobills.com/John Murphy Show. We got you covered right there. So you never should have to miss anything, even if you don't hear it live. But right now, we're going to talk a little bit more fantasy football. We've been talking about it the first hour. Who the third Bill, or maybe the defense, that should be off the board after CJ and Stevie in your fantasy football league? Well, a guy who seems to have all the answers, well, in the most cases, he has all the answers, and that is ESPN senior fantasy football analyst Matthew Berry joins me live on the line right now. Matthew, good to talk to you. Really excited to have you on the John Murphy Show tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate that.
Now, Matthew and I are both Z89, WJPZ, and Syracuse alum guys. We both were there for our college radio experience. It was a fun time doing college radio at the Z, wasn't it?
It's fantastic. I'm very proud of my time at Syracuse. It was quite a while ago. I graduated in 92. But, yeah, I did everything at Z89. There was a student TV station there. They've changed the name of it. But when I was going there, it was called UUTV. And just the experience, I wrote for the student newspaper there as well. The ability to get in front of a microphone, to get in front of a computer, to get in front of an audience and get comfortable talking is an invaluable kind of experience that you just don't get in the real world. So it was exciting for me.
Yeah, I found that many of the other friends I went to school with who wanted to do this for a living, you know, a lot of them didn't get involved and do things like that and thought that piece of paper would, you know, just get them somewhere. But really, the ability to do this and the practice and the reps that you need are absolutely invaluable, as you said. But you really, you went a different path coming out of college, which I thought was really interesting. Before we talk fantasy football, I got to ask you, you went to Hollywood, and you were a writer for a little while. How did that all come about, and how did that transform from that into fantasy football at ESPN?
I have the weirdest resume ever. Yeah, I mean, I did a bunch of different things at Syracuse. I was a television, radio, film major. Really enjoyed that. Went out to Hollywood, which is where I wanted to be. As much as I enjoyed all sort of the stuff that I did at at Syracuse, my heart was really in writing and script writing. So I went out to Hollywood. I worked as a sitcom writer and as a movie writer for quite some time. I actually lived in Hollywood for 15 years. But in 1999, there was a website called RotoWorld, and they were advertising for fantasy writers. I said, well, you know, we're looking to expand the staff. And so I wrote in, and I said, you know what, I'm a professional writer living out here in Hollywood, but fantasy sports is my passion. I've been playing since I was 14 years old. I love it. Boy, I think it'd be so much fun if I could just write a column on the side, just do something fun. Can I try out? Can I send in a sample? What have you? They wrote me back the next day, and they said, we looked you up on IMDb. Married with Children is our favorite show of all time. You're hired. So that was because I'd written for Married with Children. They ended up hiring me and giving me a shot. The column ended up taking off. I wrote for them for 4.5 years. In 2004, I felt like I had a big enough audience. I'd been doing some radio at that point. I felt like I had some big enough audience to start my own website. So I did. And I started talentedmrroto.com in 2004 and built that up. I didn't really have a lot of money to promote the site. You know, I didn't take, you know, funding from anyone. It was all my own savings. So I didn't have a ton of money into the site. So basically, the only way I could promote the site was me. So I went on every radio station I could find, every TV station, every website. I said, look, I'll write for you for free. I'll come on your air for free. Just link back to my website. Just talk about my website. And one of the places that I did a lot of that with initially was ESPN. And so over the years, in late 2006, the website had gotten popular and pretty profitable at that time. I'd done a lot of stuff for ESPN. They liked what I had done for them. So they said, you know what? We feel like we keep talking about who's our Mel Kiper of fantasy. And I don't know that I would ever compare myself to Mel. He's a legend. But that's what they said. And I said, you know, so they said, we want to, you know, buy your website, move you out to Bristol and make you the guy. And I was just like, you know, dream come true. Where do I sign?
That's an amazing story. Now, you started even before I did, but I started playing in 1989. I ran my first fantasy football league, and I was just thumbing through some stuff the other day, and everything was back then was on paper. We had to grab the USA Today on Monday morning and go through, and you couldn't miss any stats. How has fantasy football evolved from when, you know, even back then to now because of the internet and how popular it's gotten?
Well, it's just made it so much easier for everyone. The barrier to entry is much lower. Now it's everyone. I mean, back then it was guys like you and I that were just like, you know, love the numbers and just really into it. But now everyone can play. I mean, my 8-year-old kid plays. I have a book coming out in July, and I got a story from an 87-year-old grandmother who won her league. So everyone plays. And so I think it's the fact that technology between, you know, you don't even have to go online anymore. Just between your smartphone or your tablet, you can play, you can draft, you can make all sorts of moves. So between the technology that's made playing and keeping track of it easier, I think the embracing of fantasy by major media companies like ESPN and by the leagues like the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NBA, them promoting it as well has made it seem, you know, less dorky. And now it's just something that everyone does. You know, it's like you go see the new action movie. Everyone likes Vegas. Everyone likes, you know, attractive people, whether it's a guy or a girl. And, you know, we all play fantasy.
That's right. It's become really, really big, obviously. All right. Matthew Berry joining me right now. He is obviously at ESPN. He's their senior fantasy football analyst. Matthew, right now we are in the offseason. Camps are in just about a month around the league. What should we all be doing as fantasy football players to kind of prep? Because there's really not much going on, obviously. There's not a lot of roster movement. How should we be approaching our fantasy year right now?
Well, you want to read as much as possible because you can still hear, you know, news and notes from different players and that kind of stuff in terms of who's looking, who looked good in OTAs and the health of certain players and that kind of stuff. But I would also be reading as much as you can. Listen, our draft kit is up on ESPN.com right now. My draft day manifesto is up there. You can, you know, not to sound like a corporate shill here, but you can also mock draft for free on ESPN.com. Like I would be doing that. Like try different mocks and you can pick. When you go in there, you can pick where you're, you know, like, hey, I want to pick at the 3 spot or the 8 spot or the 5 spot. See what happens if you're on the wraparound at the end of a draft. So try different mocks and see what happens. See if you go running back early. Do you like your team? What happens if you draft Calvin Johnson or Aaron Rodgers in the first round? What if you go running back wide receiver? What's your team look like then? So I think just trying out different scenarios is really helpful at this point of the season.
All right, let's talk about the top of the draft board. Right now, as it stands, is Adrian Peterson the clear number one this year?
I think he has to be. Look, I understand guy had a ton of carries last year, and is there any way he can repeat the kind of season he had last year? I understand all the questions. I just think he's something special. I think there's a highly unlikely chance that Adrian Peterson is not a top three or four running back. And it's one of those things that you don't necessarily have to pick a guy number one for him to, he doesn't have to end the year at number one to be worth the number one pick. Part of what you're drafting with Adrian Peterson is you're drafting safety, who's been, you know, a top five fantasy running back every single season that he's, you know, played all the games. The one year, obviously, when he tore his ACL. But other than that, he's been, you know, just money in the bank. So to me, Peterson's the clear-cut number one.
Well, you know, it's really changed draft strategy. Last year, you were really big on how things have morphed, you know, away from the running backs to the wide receivers. It's really become more of a year-to-year process here. Do you see that staying the way it is right now, or will the running backs become more in vogue as far as trying to draft them early on?
I think it all depends on, obviously it depends on your league size, your league scoring system and everything like that. But at the moment, I think you want to go running back because there's probably about 10 or 11 really solid guys that you feel good about. And then the rest, there's just a lot of question marks in terms of health, in terms of playing time, in terms of coming off of disappointing seasons. So for me, the depth of the positions at everywhere else, a lot of great wide receivers out there, a lot of great quarterbacks out there. After Jimmy Graham, there's a couple of tight ends that I like a little bit more than, but pretty much once you get past the first couple of tight ends, obviously New England's a whole different situation in terms of what's going on there. But, you know, and Gonzalez and Witten are solid. But after those guys, like, they're all the same, basically, for me at the tight end position. Because of the depth at everywhere else, I think you want to go running back early this year. But we'll see who emerges next year. I don't want to talk about draft strategy for next year until we get through this one.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems to change every year. How has the newly, you know, running quarterback and the read option and the spread option and things like that, how has that changed the fantasy football strategy of people out there?
Well, what it's done is it's made some quarterbacks that might not have been as viable to be viable. I mean, you've got guys like Rodgers and Brady and Breeze who are sort of drop back passers. Same with Peyton Manning. But then, you know, the continued excellence of Cam Newton and the emergence of guys like RG3, Russell Wilson, Colin Kaepernick, you get those fantasy points from those guys, obviously, between their rushing. And so basically it's made, you know, because listen, San Francisco, that is a run-first offense. Seattle, that is a run-first offense. The Redskins, that is a run-first offense. So, but because of those three teams, because of them being run-first, their passing numbers aren't as great, but because the quarterbacks run as well, those quarterbacks are viable fantasy starters to go along with kind of the elite passing quarterbacks as well.
All right, let's talk about the team that my listeners are most interested in. That, of course, is the Buffalo Bills. Can we expect C.J. Spiller to continue on the kind of path he was last year with the limited carries he had? He was still one of the league leaders. What can we expect from C.J. Spiller this year? How high should we consider taking him?
I think Spiller is a top five guy, top six guy, if you want to. Depends on where you feel about, you know, some of the other guys, sort of, you know, Ray Rice, whether you move him down a little bit. But Spiller's a stud. I think he's going to have a monster year. He doesn't need that many touches. I mean, that's what's so exciting about Spiller is the speed and the power with him. You know, he's a guy that's tough to bring down. He's one of the league leaders in yards after contact, which is amazing for a guy with his kind of speed. So Spiller, to me, is a no-brainer first rounder. I have him very high. I think he's going to have a monster year.
How about Stevie Johnson? He's, of course, the top wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills. He has three 1,000-yard seasons, straight 1,000. No Bill has ever done that, but yet seems to be under the radar on most fantasy draft boards. And, of course, with the quarterback situation in flux, where should we put Stevie in our rankings?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it's no issue against Stevie Johnson. I think it has everything to do with the fact that, well, the quarterback situation has struggled somewhat. And, frankly, the wide receiver position is so deep. I mean, you go really, really deep. I currently have him as a top 30 wide receiver. So I have him as a number three wide receiver. But, you know, it's so touchdown dependent. It really depends on what happens there. To your point, 3,000-yard seasons, but hasn't been a dominant fantasy force. You know, do we expect him to get to 1,400 yards? Do we expect him to get double-digit touchdowns? I don't know that we necessarily see that. No disrespect to him and no disrespect to his talent. I think it's just a matter of sort of the scheme. I expect Doug Marrone to run a lot. I don't know what you guys have heard and what you guys are thinking. You guys are following the team closer than I am right now. But my suspicion is that if it's going to be anything close to what he did in Syracuse, he's going to run a lot. And he's going to look at his team and say, my best player is C.J. Spiller. I want to get the ball in his hands as much as I can. And so I think Stevie Johnson is going to be a very solid, like, low-end number two, number three fantasy wide receiver. But I just, because of the offense around him and the quarterback play, I just don't see him doing much better than that for fantasy.
Well, maybe this will help you as you go on and write and talk about what's coming up with fantasy. But what we're hearing here in Buffalo is, you know, the same thing that everybody heard last year with Chan Gailey getting criticized so much for not giving C.J. Spiller the ball enough. I'm sure Doug Marrone, Nathaniel Hackett have both heard that, and we expect C.J. Spiller to really get a lot of touches. But the other thing is, Matthew, and I think this really does affect fantasy football, is the Bills are expected to run a very, very up-tempo offense and really run a whole lot more plays than most teams run on a normal Sunday.
Which is great. I mean, obviously that's great for fantasy, and we'll see. You know, it's one thing to say that you want to do that. We'll see if that actually happens and how effective that offense is with the pieces they have in place right now. Certainly there should be high expectations for the Bills defense. And there are some skill players on the other side of the ball. So, It'll be interesting to see.
Well, the big
the thing about wide receivers is you sort of look at it.
Right.
Like, I have Stevie Johnson at 30. Stevie Johnson could easily be a top 12, top 15 wide receiver. I mean, it's all over the place. Like, if James Jones, who had double-digit touchdowns last year, if James Jones only has four because Randall Cobb continues his emergence and Jordy Nelson stays healthy the whole year and they run a little bit more with Eddie Lacy, Jonathan Franklin, like, and Jermichael Finley is supposedly back in Aaron Rodgers' good graces. So you could easily see James Jones go from like 13 touchdowns to four, you know, or he could have an 8 or 9 touchdown season. Touchdowns are so fluky, they're impossible to predict, and that's a big part of the fantasy wide receiver value. So I think it's just after you get past the first four, for me, Calvin Johnson, A.J. Green, Brandon Marshall, Dez Bryant, after you get past those four, honestly, they're all sort of with different levels of upside, but they're kind of the same. There's a large group of very talented wide receivers.
What about the Bills defense? You just touched on them for a second, but Mike Pettine's coming in. He's going to run this aggressive scheme. They're moving more to a 3-4, really. Mario Williams especially is going to be probably the most impacted guy, where he can do some things he wasn't able to do. Is the Bills defense a really good option compared to other defense, knowing all this?
I don't think so. I think they are a bye week fill-in. I think it depends on sort of who they're playing that week. Like, love the Bills defense when they play the Jets twice a week, twice a year. Not sure I love them against the Patriots. So I think the Bills, who finished outside the top 10 last year in terms of fantasy scoring, I think the Bills will be a better real life defense than they will be fantasy defense, but obviously we'll wait to see what happens.
All right, my question to my listeners tonight, who's the third Bill off the board after CJ and Stevie? Is it a guy like Fred Jackson just because he plays running back and CJ may need a breather or gets banged up? Is it a guy like Robert Woods who comes in and really has a chance at that number two spot because they don't have a lot of depth behind Stevie Johnson? Maybe Scott Chandler off the injury. Who is the next Bill off the board, if any?
I think for me it's Fred Jackson. I think obviously you hope CJ Spiller stays healthy the whole year, but running back at such a dangerous position. There's such a dearth of running backs. Fred Jackson actually was productive last year when he got the rock. And so I think he's an important handcuff if you're a CJ Spiller owner. But more importantly, I do think Fred Jackson should be drafted in all leagues just because of the upside. And to your point, if they're going to run a lot more plays, there's only so many times CJ Spiller can carry the ball. So I think you'll still see Fred Jackson get 10 to 15 touches a game, you know, between various carries and pitch outs, and depending on the size of your league, that can be valuable.
Matthew Berry from ESPN joining me. Real quick, Matthew, got a couple Twitter questions that came my way I'll throw at you before he lets you out of here. Maddie Meltz on Twitter says, what about any rookies this year? Who are the rookies we should target in this year's draft class?
Well, no one really. I mean, I think Tavon Austin is really sort of interesting, right? But I mean, we'll get to the running backs in a second. But Tavon Austin, I mean, Chris Mortensen actually was talking on NFL 32 tonight in terms of just how much they're going to use him. They're going to use him very similar to the way that teams have used Percy Harvin and Randall Cobb. They're going to line him up in the slot. They're going to put him in the backfield. They're going to try to use lots of motion to get him the ball quickly. So I think Tavon Austin and his speed on the turf in St. Louis, so he's a really interesting guy to me. In terms of the running backs, look, I think Monte Ball is going to have a monster year. People don't realize the Denver Broncos, for as much as they throw the ball with Peyton Manning, they were top 10 in the NFL last year in red zone rushing attempts and in red zone rushing touchdowns. That's a team that runs when they get in close. And, you know, they want Monte Ball to be the guy. Obviously, they let go of Willis McGahee. We don't know about the health of Knowshon Moreno. I think Ronnie Hillman is more of a third down back, truthfully. So I think Monte Ball's got a real nice opportunity to do something there. So like him a lot. And LeVan Bell in Pittsburgh, I should say, he has a chance to be the guy there. That's a team that wants to run somewhat too. He's a nice pass catcher, which fits in well with the Todd Haley offense. So I think Bell is an interesting guy.
And
as well.
Ed Sadowski on Twitter asks, is Doug Martin going to regress after the tremendous rookie year he had last year? Will teams know about him a little bit more? Is he a risky play?
He's definitely not a risky play. I mean, he's a top five pick as well. Keep in mind, everything he did last year, he did as a rookie, and he did without Carl Nix and Davin Joseph as two all-pro guards. One lost in the preseason, one lost middle of the season. So he gets two really good blockers back. And most NFL players make their biggest leap in terms of improvement from year one to year two. So, look, anything's possible. But I think the future is very bright for Doug Martin. I think he's completely legit.
And I'll get you out of here on this, the New England situation. What should we make of that with the tight ends, and where should we think about taking these guys? Should we even invest in taking either Gronkowski or Hernandez at all with the risk that's going on with them right now?
I think sure, absolutely. I mean, first off, Aaron Hernandez hasn't been charged with anything. We just don't know anything. I don't want to speculate on that situation. Others will say that we don't know anything. We just don't know. Obviously, it's weird, but we don't know anything, and so we just have to sort of wait and see what happens, if anything does happen. As for Gronkowski, I think Gronkowski's – I have him as my number two tight end overall, believe it or not. I still have – I lowered him a lot in my overall ranks, so I have Jimmy Graham at one, and I have – you know, and I have him as a second rounder, and then I have Rob Gronkowski as a late fourth, early fifth rounder.
Mm-hmm.
So they're far away in the overall ranks, but 10 or 8 games out of Rob Gronkowski plus replacement level tight end for the other games is still better than anyone else. His upside is so huge. So I think Rob Gronkowski is absolutely worth the risk. Yeah, obviously health is a concern there, but when healthy, he's such a difference maker at a position where there aren't very many difference makers. I think if you can get him late enough in the fourth or fifth, for example, I think he's worth the gamble.
Matthew, you said you got a book coming out. What's it called, and how can we find it?
It is called Fantasy Life, and it's about all the great things that you and I love about fantasy sports. Outrageous trophies, brilliant trash talk, hilarious ways that people have tried to cheat, insane draft day locations, you name it, lots of pictures. I got a league in Nebraska where the loser had to get a tattoo. Literally had to get a tattoo chosen by the winner. So on page 2 of the book, there's a guy who has a tattoo of Justin Bieber on his leg. So, I mean, it's that book, right? And so it comes out July 16th. FantasyLifeTheBook.com has all the information. You can order it, you know, Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all the places, Apple, iTunes, the whole thing. But FantasyLifeTheBook.com, if you pre-order it, you get an autographed copy. You get a free chat with me, an exclusive web chat with me, and you get a bonus chapter, an exclusive chapter. So,
well, I'll tell you, Matthew Berry, thank you so much. You, by the way, on Twitter, at Matthew Berry TMR is the Twitter handle. Thank you very much for joining us here on the John Murphy Show. We really appreciate it. Continued success to you. It's great to see another WJPZ alumni doing so well. I know there's so many of us out there, but I thank you for coming on the John Murphy Show with me tonight.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for asking. Go Cuse.
All right. There you go. That is Matthew Berry. We'll take a timeout. We'll talk more fantasy football when the John Murphy Show continues on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, continues right here on Buffalo Bills Radio. My name is Sal Capaccio, filling in for Murph tonight. Thanks a lot for joining us. And if you missed the last segment, boy, oh boy, does Matthew Berry know his stuff. Fantasy football expert from ESPN and ESPN.com, senior fantasy football analyst. He even basically said he's the Mel Kiper of fantasy, basically. And he said it humbly, of course. He doesn't like to compare himself to a legend like Mel, but ESPN, when they approached him, that's what they called him. And he does a great job. And some of the things he thinks about are just amazing to me. When you ask him a question, and he gets so into detail, you know, about the whole Rob Gronkowski thing. He's like, you know, even 8 games of Gronkowski plus fill in at tight end for the other 8, you know, you think about how that affects. People just thought, Gronk's going to be out. But, you know, he really kind of lays it out there and makes it simple for you to understand in your fantasy draft how, you know, guys could perform. He talked about Doug Martin. We had a Twitter question come in about, you know, if he's going to regress in his sophomore season and where he should be taken. He said, CJ Spiller, use the word stud. He said he's a stud. We all believe that. And he's going to be a top five pick. He should be, at least, in your fantasy draft, according to Matthew Berry. But he definitely knows his stuff, and it was really cool to talk with him. You can check that out. It's in the iTunes store, in our podcast. Make sure you go and download that and subscribe to it as well. Subscribe to us on iTunes, The John Murphy Show. Also, download the Bills mobile app at buffalobills.com and go to buffalobills.com/John Murphy Show, and you can hear that entire interview from Matthew Berry, the talented Mr. Roto. It's a great story, by the way, too, he shared, going out to Hollywood and being a writer. And, you know, I'll tell you, kind of tugged at my heartstrings a little bit, because Matthew, as much as he went out to Hollywood, he wanted to be in writing and all that kind of stuff, he said, but his passion was fantasy sports, and it kind of led him to what he's doing now, and it's his dream. And I was in the same situation, Russ. I'll tell you, I was a teacher for 10 years down in Florida, but my passion in life was radio and TV. It's what I always wanted to do, and I always wanted to basically do it in Buffalo. And, you know, a couple of lucky breaks, I'll say, along the way, and a couple of, you know, phone calls made here or there led me back here to Buffalo. And here, and I think that it's really, you hear this when you're young, but you don't really understand it and appreciate it until you're older, and that is this: love what you do. Love what you do. It really Absolutely. Is important, isn't it? I mean, and Matthew Berry loves what he does. So it's really good to hear something like that happening for him, and always like good to see those fellow WJPZ Z89 from Syracuse guys getting their crack and doing what they want to do in life. And Matthew Berry's one of the best in the business for sure. All right, 803-0550 or 888-550-2550. The two numbers to call. The question on the table tonight is, after CJ and Stevie, who is the number three Bill off the board? What Bills player, or is it the Bills defense or special teams that should be taken off the board? Didn't sound like Matthew Berry was too high on the Bills special teams slash defense this year as far as fantasy production and maybe taking them as the third player. Fred Jackson's his guy. I do not see a problem with that at all. But for me, I look at one of the receivers. I say it's whoever wins the starting job opposite Stevie. And we should know by then. You might not know, which is kind of a bit of a wrench in the plans in your draft. Is it Robert Woods? Is it TJ Graham? Whichever guy wins that starting job opposite Stevie, I say, should be the third Bill off the board. Because if you're in a point per reception league, which most of you play in, you're going to get 50 to 60 points just on receptions from that guy. Now, Fred Jackson's also going to give you catches out of the backfield. That's going to help you as well. And he's also going to give you those runs. And the good thing about Freddie, if you have him as number three, as the next guy off, if CJ gets banged up at all, if late in games, you know, CJ needs a break or two because they've ran so many plays and you got to keep a fresh running back in there because you need to get the ball down the field, maybe Fred's that guy that really carries the load late in games. We'll see. So I think all of that is in play when you talk about who the third Bill off the board is. Let's head back out to the phone lines. Dave, in my hometown of Cheektowaga, New York. What's going on, Dave?
Yo.
How are you, man?
I wanted to make a comment about fantasy football in general.
Yep.
Well, first, let me just quickly say, I think if I was going to pick a Bill, it would be probably Robert Wood, because I think he is going to win the second job, and I think he's going to have a lot of catches.
Okay.
Anyway, with that said, I have one major problem with fantasy football, and it's this. But I think I have a solution, so don't hang up on me after I'm done. The problem that I have is that there seems to be a conflict of interest. I've watched games with people that say they're Bills fans, and they have, let's say they have Rob Gronkowski on their fantasy team.
Yep.
And they're rooting, in even a close game, for Rob Gronkowski to score. And I have a major problem with somebody claiming to be a fan of the Bills or whatever other team, and then because they have a guy on their fantasy team, they're essentially rooting against the team that they claim to root for.
Okay,
and
I'm not going to...
I have a fundamental problem with that. Now, my solution...
So hold on a second. I'm not going to hang up on you, but I want to say this. I'm not going to hang up, but I agree completely with you, Dave, and I'm going to say I hate it. I absolutely hate it. And even if I have a guy on my team that's playing against the Bills, I don't care. I don't want him to score. I would so much rather lose that fantasy game if it meant the Bills come away with a W. That's just the way I roll, and I hate it absolutely. What's your solution?
I agree, and unfortunately, though, I've watched games with people, and that's not the case. My solution is that I think before the fantasy draft that you have even occurs, that everybody that's participating in that league has to declare one team. that they root for. And nobody that you draft on your fantasy team is allowed to be played when they are playing against the team that you have selected.
Wow. That's really odd. That's pretty. That'd be a bold thing to. That'd be a weird, hard thing to do. So if you were in this league,
administering it might be difficult. But
now, wait a minute. So here's the problem, though. What if, like, you're in a room? You have 10 teams in your league. If 8 of those people are Bills fans, then you know nobody can play against 8 of those teams.
Well, I don't. I mean, logistically, I don't know. I mean, it's an experiment that I think should be tried, and maybe it won't. Maybe the numbers don't add up, and it wouldn't work. But it was just something that occurred to me to as a potential solution to eliminate what is the one thing that bothers me about that whole activity.
You know what?
I don't like it when people are essentially rooting against.
Well,
their home team because they have a guy and they want him to get fantasy points. And I'm glad to hear that that isn't your mentality. I know it wouldn't be mine. I don't really participate in it all that much. I did a while back, but
well, Dave, I'm going to hang up on you now, but it's only because I got to run, not because you said anything wrong. I appreciate the phone call, buddy. Okay. All right. Listen, here's the thing. I'm just going to say my piece about this because this is a very big topic. In fact, I believe it was just a couple of years ago, maybe it'd been 3-4 years ago, whatever. There was a study done, like somebody did it. I don't know if it was ESPN or just some independent organization or whatever. Somebody did a study and they asked people, they said, would you rather have your fantasy team win or your real team? You know, the team you root for. And more than 50% of the people they asked said their fantasy team. I think that's appalling. I think that is blasphemous. Okay, here's my solution. Dave has his solution. Here's my solution. My solution is don't compromise. Your team is your team. Fantasy football is fantasy. It's a fantasy, okay? Yeah, you can win some money. You can win some prestige. But if you're a fan of a football team, stay a fan of that football team. If the Bills are playing the Patriots, I don't want Tom Brady to throw 4 touchdowns. Even if he's on my fantasy team, I don't want Tom Brady to throw 4 touchdowns, all right? And the interesting part of the solution, by the way, what Dave said was the solution is, okay, let's say you declare I'm a fan of Tampa, okay, before the draft. Some guy says I'm a fan of Tampa. Whoever's playing that guy that week in fantasy football isn't allowed to put anybody in their team that's playing against Tampa that week. So if, you know, New Orleans is playing Tampa and you have Drew Brees, you're not allowed to start him. I don't think that would work logistically in most leagues. I think it's a fun, interesting idea. It wouldn't work. Here's my solution. Just root for your team. Now, here's the thing I'll say, Russ, okay? If the Bills are playing, for example, I don't know, I'm going to pick a team on the schedule here besides New England. It's too easy. If they're playing Baltimore, Bills are playing Baltimore on Sunday, September 29th this year. If I have Ray Rice on my team, okay? And I'm going to start him because he's Ray Rice. I still want the Bills to shut him down and hold him to nothing. I don't care about my fantasy team. That said, if the Bills lose, then I'm saying, well, hey, you know what? If Ray Rice got a couple of touchdowns out of that, I'll take it because it's not my fantasy team. But totally does not come first. Totally does not come first.
Well, I will say two things really quick. One, excuse me. First of all, I'm such a homer that my team usually has at least 3 Bills on it. It doesn't matter. So that's the first thing. That being said, if, like, say, like you said, Baltimore, I have Ray Rice on my team, I won't play him.
I've seen people do that.
I just bench him, even
you
if it means I lose.
You don't want the conflict of interest.
Yeah, well, I don't want that feeling because it's like, oh, I'm kind of happy, but
yeah,
it's just not worth it.
No.
I will say, that being said, again, I don't play in money leagues. So
okay, well,
I guess that factors into it. But just to play devil's advocate on, you know, going with the study that you were talking about, if to look at the people who would take pride in their fantasy football team winning, I could see where that makes sense to them because they put that team together. There's some pride in that accomplishment that this is my team. Like, I have no control. I might hate every move that my team has done. Like, I don't want to pick on the Bills. So I'll just say, you know, say I'm a Vikings fan. And other than Adrian Peterson, I have nothing to cheer for, or like a Rams fan. And other than that first year they got Bradford, they haven't been very good. You know, you're frustrated with everything your team has done pretty much. But your fantasy team that you put together, you put that together, you're winning, you've lost like 2 games all season. you know, I could see where those people would rather have their team win. I hate those people, but I understand it.
All right. Well, it reminds me of something else on this line that I'll talk about when we get back. We'll take a timeout right now. And when we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls if you want to chime in on this fantasy football topic. But it reminds me of something else that's very, very annoying about fans in sports. All right. And I'm going to tell you exactly what that is that annoys me. What Dave just said annoyed him, and I agree with him. I got something else when the John Murphy Show continues on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back to the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. My name is Sal Capaccio, sitting in for Murph tonight. Glad to be along with you here tonight and as well for the rest of the week. Got a really good show lined up for you tomorrow. Really interesting story for you tomorrow. We're going to talk with a guy that shares the namesake of a famous football player who unfortunately passed away all too early, Brian Piccolo. And Brian Piccolo, who's related to him, same name, grew up here in Western New York and now is fighting his own form of cancer and also an MMA fighter. It's a really interesting story. I'm going to share that with you tomorrow because we're going to talk on the air tomorrow with Brian Piccolo. So make sure you're around for that on the John Murphy Show tomorrow here on Buffalo Bills Radio. In the meantime,
tomorrow night, I'm sorry, we're also going to have former Bills linebacker Chris Draft.
There you go.
Might not be a household name to fans, wasn't here that long, but a guy who I still remember when we picked him up, Chris Jenkins from the Media Relations Department said to me, I was working with a different radio station at that time. He said, this is a guy you're going to want to get to know because he's going to be in the community a lot.
There you go.
And that's exactly what he did. And he just spoke at the rookie symposium. He's heading to Afghanistan on June 30th.
Wow.
And he'll be on with us tomorrow night.
Very good. Thank you very much. That is Russ Burton, producer of the John Murphy Show right there. And Chris Draft, as well as Brian Piccolo, who is the namesake of the former Chicago Bear, Brian Piccolo, who the movie Brian's Song was made about. They're both going to join us live tomorrow night right here on the John Murphy Show. All right, so I said, before we went to the break, something else that annoys me about fandom, basically. Dave in Cheektowaga called and he said, oh, you know, guys rooting for their fantasy teams over the real teams and guys to score against the real teams annoys me. It annoys me, too. I hate that. I can't stand it. Just stay with your team. I don't care if my fantasy team loses. That the number one priority for me is I want my team to win, okay? It doesn't matter, all that other stuff. The other thing that annoys me, I got to be honest, you're not allowed a second favorite team, all right? You get one team in life. Root for that team. You know who your second favorite team should be? Anybody who beats a team that helps your team in the standings. That's it, all right? You're a Bills fan. You should root for the Bills. And you know what? I know this is blasphemy, but if the Dolphins winning actually helps the Bills somehow in the standings, you actually should be cheering for the Miami Dolphins in that particular game. Stop it with the second favorite team stuff. You get one team, you root for that team, you invest in that team. You know what it is for me? There's the Bills and then 31 other teams totally like down the pipe. That's it. You're not allowed a second favorite team. I'm sorry. Sorry to break the news to you, folks. That's just annoying. Oh, but my second favorite team won. You know, your second favorite team changes every year depending on who wins, I think. That's what happens to people. Oh, I'm happy because my second favorite team is the Ravens. They went to the Super Bowl. Yeah, of course, because they won, all right? Be a fan of your team. Stick with your team. One team, no second favorite, no third favorite. There's one team, and then there's everybody else. And you know who your second favorite team should be on Sundays? Whoever helps your team win. And rise in the standings. So when the Bills are playing in week, you know, the Jets on November 17th, when the Bills are playing the Jets, you know who your second favorite team should be? Any other team that wins that helps the Bills in the standings after they beat the Jets. That's who your second favorite team should be. So there's my piece on that. All right, fantasy football. We got a sleeper pick for fantasy football. Third Bill off the board. And it comes to us from our producer, Russ Burton. Who you got?
That was a big setup. Okay. Let me just set this up by saying, I'm not saying this is the third person off the board. That's not what I meant. I'm saying maybe it's like a really late round guy. Maybe
right,
it's your Mr. Irrelevant. But a Bills player that should at least be on your radar, I'm saying Chris Gregg. The guy, the Bills rookie tight end, seventh round pick. He's really athletic. He's had a couple of great camps. And who knows where Scott Chandler is going to be. I mean, it's looking like he could be maybe not a full participant for training camp, but pretty active in training camp. And, I mean, other than that, you know, you're looking at Lee Smith, Mike Cawson. I think Chris Gregg is a really good shot to be the starter. And you're looking at, you know, whoever the starting quarterback is, they're new to the offense, they're new to the team. you know, new quarterbacks typically tend to lean on their tight ends.
Yes.
I think, you know, and how athletic he's been. Might not catch a lot of balls, but he's going to be a big red zone target. I think he could be a pretty big fantasy player.
Well said, Russ. In fact, we had several tweets come in about Chris Gregg. I'll read one of them that came in from EJ, not EJ Manuel. That would be pretty interesting. EJ says, Chris Gregg, Scott may be out and Chris has speed. It could cause matchups. And if he has a good start, watch out. And yeah, you're right. You know, you get that rookie quarterback in there who says, hey, you know, I got a guy here that I can basically use and throw to as my security blanket. It happens all the time in the National Football League. I think Chris Gregg is definitely an option. I still say whoever wins the number two job opposite Stevie is the next best play for the Bills. But there are definitely sleepers, guys who always just show up. Maybe not the third guy off the board, like you say. Maybe a guy you're just like, wait a minute, where'd he come from? It could be a guy like Marquise Goodwin. I'll tell you why. Marquise Goodwin might not get the number of catches a Woods or a T.J. Graham have this year. But Marquise Goodwin could score 3-4 touchdowns this year. Maybe you put him in your league at some week, and he has that one big game because they ran a play that they set him up really well, and he's a big play guy. So there's always that guy and those kind of guys that you need to watch out for. All right. Had a great show tonight. Thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. Want to thank our two very special guests, Jeffrey Miller, author of 100 Things Bills Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die, and also Matthew Berry, the talented Mr. Roto, ESPN Senior Fantasy Football Analyst. Thank you to Russ Burton, our producer, Pete Cargis with updates, Jeff Matthews, the Bills Director of Broadcasting, and of course, thank you very much to John Murphy for allowing me once again to sit in this chair tonight. Had a great time. Going to look forward to another great time tomorrow night here on the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.